He was educated. He worked with some of the prominent, well-known rabbis in the time, and so he was a Pharisee. He was one of the guys, and he was strong. He was a leader. He was very charismatic in the way he did things, and we see the introduction of Saul back when Stephen was martyred. What we see is Stephen was taken out and stoned, and as they took him out the stone, they threw their coats down at the feet of Stephen. So it tells, or at the feet of Saul. So that tells me that he's right there going, "Yeah, we're going to take this Christian down." And so he is named by name here at the beginning here as a person who's right there to egg on the people who are persecuting the Christians. The Christians being at this time those who believe in Christ as the Messiah. And so so we see that. Then later on we go into chapter 8 and we see a little blurb there. With 8, chapter 1, it says this: "Now Saul was consenting to his death. At the time of great persecution arose against the church, which was a Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his bureau and made great lamentations." Now here's where we see Saul come up. 8:3 says this: "As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering every house, dragging off men and women, committing them to prison." So Saul was a dangerous dude for the Christians. Saul was a person that, as soon as you heard his name, Christians, believers, people who believed that Christ was the Messiah and were dying for that cause, feared the name of Saul. When they heard Saul's name, they were running for the hills because they know he was coming for them. He was going into their houses and dragging them out to take them to prison because of what they believed. So that's the man we're going to walk with today. That's who Saul is. So let's start out in verse 9 here. I'm sorry, chapter 9, verse 1. Again, I'm starting out here at Acts chapter 9, verse 1. "Then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any who were of the way being of Christians, the believers, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem." Okay, so he went to the high priest and said, "Hey, I want your authority. I want your permission to go in and go to that Damascus." And the reason they're going to Damascus is they're here, they're having a gathering. Okay, so I want you to go. I want your authority to be able to go to Damascus, okay, and to be able to take those who are of the way, being Christians, grab them and take them to prison. "As he journeyed, he came near Damascus." Now I'm in verse 3. "As he journeyed, he came to Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?'" All right, let's picture it now, guys. Y'all know I'm a visual person. So Saul's walking around going, "We're going to get somebody today. We're going to get somebody today." I remember when I was a police officer, I went to go run warrants. I was like, "Ooh, I hope somebody runs. It's going to be good because I'm not going to chase them. Hello." But y'all will. We're going to have some fun. And so they're walking down the road. Yeah, here we go. Here we go. And as they're walking down the road, bam, the bright light, the blinding light hits them. And I like this. Look what it says here. "Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?'" It was so bright, so blinding, so show-stopping that he dropped to the ground. He dropped. Anybody ever been near a lightning strike? Ever been through one? Ever been near one? Within so many feet? I've never had, but I had a partner one time who, it was funny. Because he's on the radio, he's talking to this guy going, "What are you doing?" All of a sudden, lightning hits. I saw the lightning strike. I was actually just a few blocks away. I saw the lightning strike, and I was like, "Whoo, that was bright." He was only from maybe here just to the wall over there. Lightning strikes. They said they all hit the ground, all right? And he got back up. He gets on the radio. "Lightning struck, but I'm okay." It scared him. He was so scared of that light. And that's the brightness of what's happening here. It was show-stopping that it was so bright that he falls to the ground. Not only do we have a bright light that drops him to the ground, but then we have a voice that comes through the light. Woo-wee! I, I'm going to be honest. I'm going to be freaking out. I'm not going to, I don't want to see this. This ain't going to be good. Mm-mm. No, 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 no. I don't want to look up and see what's happening here. And he fell and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? So he's on the ground and he said, verse 5, who are you, Lord? He's not saying, who are you, Lord? He knows who God is. He's a Pharisee. He knows who God is. He just don't believe that Christ is the Messiah. So he's aware of God. He doesn't think Christ is who he says he is. So that's what he's saying here. He's saying, who are you, Lord? Yeah, that's who I am. Who else would send a bright light shining, bam, and come out and say, why are you persecuting me? He knew. He knew. He knew what he was doing. And so he already had that fear there. Now, he was a very prideful man, very prominent. But he knew at that instant what happened. Then the Lord said, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. Is it hard for you to kick against the goads? So verse 6, so he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what do you want me to do? He's on the ground. He's on his knees. He can't see anything. He hears the voice, the booming voice, and now he's hearing the voice of the man he is persecuting. Talk about a life changer, a showstopper. And he says, what do you want me to do? That's a monumental moment in our church history life. That moment right there when Saul, on his knees, on the ground, says, Lord, what do you want me to do? How often are we on the ground and on our knees, flat on the ground, going, Lord, what do you want me to do? What a vulnerable moment. What a moment to lay there like that and say, God, I'm yours. What do you want me to do? Have you ever found yourself in that position? You're face down at the foot of Christ. What do you want me to do? So trembling and astonished, Lord, what do you want me to do? Then the Lord said to him, arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. Go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. Verse 7, the men who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no one. Then Saul rose from the ground, and when his eyes were open, he saw no one. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was in 3 days without sight. He neither ate nor drank. Saul was full of hatred and pride. Full of hatred and pride. He couldn't hear the gospel from the man. He couldn't hear the gospel from man because he was so hard-hearted. He didn't want to hear it. He didn't want to hear the fact that Jesus was the Messiah and people were dying for that cause. He didn't want to hear that. He didn't care because he was blinded by what man was saying. He was blinded by what was happening. He didn't want to see what was going on. Here, Jesus breaks Saul down in such a way that he drops him to his knees, piercing through the pride, stubbornness, anger, and hatred. In that moment, a man who was the chief sinner, the one who was out there persecuting the people who believe, the chief sinner was chosen to be the powerful influence in the church. In that moment, he said, here I am. What do you want me to do? So Paul is now led down this road, blind and weak. A man who is a leader, a born leader, is now being led by hand by the people who are serving him, who have come to help him persecute. Now he is being led. I don't know where to go. What do I do? Take me, lead me, show me. He's a broken man. Starting in verse 7 here. And the man who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, and Saul rose from the ground, and his eyes were opened, And neither did he eat or drink or not. Verse 10. Now there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him the Lord said in a vision. Now I love this. I love this. Now the Lord said to him in a vision. And you see this all over Scripture. And I find it interesting. And the Lord said in a vision, Ananias. And he said, here I am, Lord. I never understood that, by the way. This kind of chasing a little rabbit here. I never understood that. You know, Phil. Yes, sir. You know, hey, I need you to go up and preach Sunday morning. I got it. I've never responded that way. So I always find it interesting when they put it in Scripture that way. Verse 11, so the Lord said to him, arise and go to the street called Straight and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he is praying. And in a vision, he seen a man named Ananias coming and putting his hand on him so he might receive his sight. Now let's pay attention here. Man, Ananias being, he is a true righteous man, full follower. He was someone who was well known in Damascus as being a church leader and a Christian and a follower. Now sees in a vision, and here's God, because he listens to what God's had saying. He's in tune with the Holy Spirit. He's one of the disciples. And he says, and the Lord calls him and says, go to the street called Straight, which, by the way, you can still find the street called Straight. In Damascus. And he said, one in Saul's hearts, behold, he is praying. And so God says, I want you to go. Hear what I'm saying, folks. I want you to go, and there's a man who came to kill you and take you to prison. And I want you to go and pray for him. How would you respond? I'd be like, I'm sorry. You want me to do what? He says, I want you to go, and I want you to lay hands on him so that he can see. And you can see, he's responding in a way that I think any person in here would respond. He's responding in a way anybody else, I think, would enter us answering, Lord, have you heard of the many? I have heard about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from chief priests to bind all who call on your name. So he's saying, do you really know what you're asking me? You want me to go to the man who's coming for me and pray for him? And the Lord said to him, go, for he has chosen a vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my sake. So, and he sends him. He says, I want you to go over there. And Ananias going, huh? You want me to do what? Are you sure? Which I always thought that was gutsy, by the way. God, are you sure you want me to do what you're telling me to do? He's God. Yes, he is. He's very sure I want you. But he's making sure you understand what you're telling me to do. Me, a prominent leader in Damascus, one who people know in the church, you want me now to go to the man who is capturing all of my peers, all of my folks, and taking them back to prison. So you want me to go to him instead of run from him, and then you want me to pray for him? Really? Are you sure? And God is saying, yes, go, because I have work for him. So he didn't hear the conversion that happened on the road to Damascus. He didn't hear the fact that Saul dropped to his knees and at that moment said, I am yours, God. Where do you want me? He didn't hear that yet. He only heard of that reputation that he had. And he said, go. So what do we got at this point? Where are we at this point of the story? What have we learned? Where are we? So if you're taking notes and you want points, here's the point. Point one, God is a merciful God. God is a merciful God. You see, God could have easily struck down, instead of the bright light surrounding them, the bright light could be striking them down. Bam, you're gone. We're talking about the same God who parted the Red Sea so the people could go through, and as his believers and his followers and his people went through that Red Sea, he allowed it to crash down, knocking out everybody else out there. We're talking about the same God who heals the blind, cleans leprosy, turns water into wine. We're talking about the same God who raised men from the dead and the same God who defeated death. That's the God we're talking about. So he had the ability to strike Saul down at that very moment, but he didn't. You know why? Because he had a job for him to do. He had a job for him to do. Verse 17. So Ananias goes. He went away and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received his sight at once, and he arose and was baptized. So in this time before, in his 3 days of what's going on, Saul is spending time thinking. Remember, he's not eating, he's not drinking, and he can't see. So he's spending time, he's thinking, and he's going through what's happening in my life, what's happening right now. And at that time, while he's doing that, God is saying, "Don't worry, help is on the way. But I've got to break you down so I can build you up first. I've got to break you down so I can build you up first." So in those 3 days, he's telling, "Look, someone's coming. He's going to lay hands on you here. And you'll be able to see. But I need time with you first. I need you to focus on me first before we do that." During these 3 days, God took the undesirable characteristics and turned them into a desirable ones. He took Saul's cruel hatred and turned it into love, turning his restless, aggressive spirit and turned it into peace. His rough, hard-nosed treatment of people with gentleness, and he turned his pride into humility. So if you're, again, taking notes, I'd say point number two in this time is God is a forgiving God. That past went away. At that moment, he was on the ground to say, "I am yours." No matter what happened in his life, it was no longer relevant in God's eyes. No longer relevant. God had a plan and a job for him. Church family, we all have skeletons in our life. We all have things that could easily be a roadblock in our lives. But I'm going to tell you right now, none of that's relevant in God's eyes. You hear what I'm saying? None of that is relevant in God's eyes. So do not allow that blindness, that stuff in your past, because it's in the past, blind you from what God has in store for you. It's not relevant in his eyes. He has work for you to do. He has work for you to do. Why? Because he's a merciful God and he's a forgiving God. Saul tells us in 1 Timothy in his own words, "Although I was formerly a blasphemer, I can't talk right now, and persecutor, and an insolent man, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of the Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into this world, hear me say this, to save sinners, of all whom I am chief." You hear what I'm saying? Let me make sure y'all hear me clearly say this. Verse 10. "And the grace of the Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying worthy of all acceptance, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of who I am chief." He is saying, "I am the chief sinner. Trust me, I've done it all." That's what he's saying. "I've done it all. Yet Jesus extended his grace towards me. However, for this reason, I obtained mercy, that in my first Jesus Christ might show all longsuffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe on him for everlasting life. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, and invisible, to God who alone is wise, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. This is Saul's own words here saying this. He's saying, look, this is what he did to me that day on the road to Damascus. But yet, he extended mercy and love to me. Immediately, therefore, came eyes. I'm on verse 18. Immediately, there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received his sight at once, and he arose and was baptized. So when he received food, he was strengthening. And Saul spent some days with the disciples at Damascus. So God is a merciful God. God is a forgiving God. And God is an empowering God. Immediately he preached to Christ. So he went there, they dropped, got the scales, gave him food, gave him strength, began to build him up, began to empower him for what he had to do. Immediately he preached to Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. Verse 21, and all who heard were amazed and said, is this not who destroyed those who called on his name in Jerusalem? And he has come for that purpose so that they might bring them bound to the chief priest? Verse 22, but Saul increased all the more in strength and confounded the Jews who dwelt in Damascus, proving that this is Jesus. This is Jesus, is the Christ. Again, he believed in God, but now he believed in Jesus. He believed in the fact that Jesus went to that cross and died for our sins. He became a new man, a new creation. And he was out there, and he was telling everybody about it. He didn't care what people thought. He didn't care about his reputation of who he was. He didn't care about that anymore. He was now in the same synagogues that he was supposed to go in and destroy in those same places. He was now preaching, Christ is Lord. Just a few days earlier, just weeks before, he was gone and going, I'm going to get me some today. And today, he stands before him saying, Christ is Lord. All in that moment on the road to Damascus. One of the many things I have learned in this last few months and last year, been getting a lot of tools to learn and to be able to use, and I could probably expand my resume to a lot of different things now. And one of the things I learned is how to build a house, sort of. I know the steps. Now, me actually going and driving a nail, no. But I know the steps. I feel pretty confident that I get it done. And through that time, I learned there's more steps to laying a foundation than what I ever thought. You don't just go in and go, I want a house right here. Bring on the cement trucks. Pour it out. You don't do that. You know there's a step before laying the foundation? Of course, you got the plumbing and all that, but did you know there's a step before laying the foundation? You know that you got to go in and dig out all that bad dirt, all that bad stuff. You got to dig it out and move it and then bring in the good stuff and pat it out and get it ready to lay that foundation. Did you know that? Did you know that all that's got to go away so that you can have that strong rock house, that structure, that foundation that's going to hold your dwelling, your sanctuary, your safe haven? See, that's what's happening here. God went in and said, let's get all the bad stuff out. Let's get all the bad stuff out. Let's bring in the good stuff. And that's what's happened. And you know what's awesome? Saul allowed it to happen. He allowed it to happen. He could have easily said, I don't want none of this. Bright light, big voices, I'm gone. I'm done with all this business. But he didn't. He said, Lord, here I am. What do you need me to do? And he changed the world today. Because he laid on that ground flat and said, Jesus, what do you want me to do? He laid on that ground flat. And now, one of the authors of most of the New Testament, the stuff that we get, what we do today from Saul, who was later called Paul, still has influence today in the church because of that road to Damascus. No matter what your past or present is, he loves you, cares for you, and has a plan for you, him being Jesus. Allow him to use you, encourage you. Let go of those burdens that do not allow you to have fellowship with God. Let go and let God. He is a merciful God. He is a forgiving God. He is a powering God. That's my God. Who is he to you? Let's pray. So, Father, right now we come to you on this day, this rainy day that we welcome, God. We thank you for what you do in our lives. We thank you for that day on the road to Damascus, Father. We thank you for that time where you stopped Saul in his tracks and said, I need you. And we thank you for the heart of Saul who said, here I am, God. Father, we thank you for what you do in our lives, God. We thank you for believing in us, God. We thank you for taking all that dirty laundry out, the old dirt, God, and putting in the new, Father. So, Father, now I pray that we spend this next time, Father, that you are speaking to us, Father. You are leading us in this time, God. We need you, Father. Forgive us where we fail you so often, Father. Thank you for your grace and your love. And Father, thank you for the cross. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So now we're going to move into our time of invitation. A time of reflection. You heard a message. You've heard worship. You've heard a message. So now is the time to respond. And so here's what I want to encourage you to do today. I want to encourage you, forget about what's going on outside those two doors right there. Forget about what's happening. And I want you to close your eyes and focus on him. I want you to think about what is your relationship right now. So let's get it right before we walk outside those doors, because guess what, guys? That's a broken world outside those doors. And when you walk outside those doors, there's stuff waiting for you to knock you down. But I'm going to tell you something. There is a God, there is a man who says, I want to lift you back up. So before you walk out these doors, make sure you're right here. So that when you're faced with what's going on outside there, you're prepared for battle. You understand what I'm saying? God loves you. He cares for you. Use this time now to go to the altar. Lay on your face and say, God, I'm here. What do you want me to do? Whatever happens, you need. Let's have that check now before we move on. If you're interested in becoming a member of our church, come talk to me. I'll be glad to lead you there. If you don't have Christ in your life and this is foreign language to you, come talk to me so we can work it out. If you're saying, I'm a believer, but I want it now, I'm ready to make it a public profession by going to the baptizing waters, come talk to me. Let's work it out. Whatever needs to happen in this time, let's make sure before we walk outside those doors. So let's stand and sing our song of invitation.